Case number 12794, Daniel A. Nedwick seeks variances from the rear yard setback requirement for an existing structure, sections 11525 and 11583 of the Sussex County zoning code. The property is located on the north side of Hayes Avenue within the Edgewater Acres subdivision. The 911 address is 13028 Hayes Avenue in Selbyville. The zoning district is AR1. The tax map is District 533, map 20.19, parcel 54. The applicant is seeking a 4.7 and a 4.1 foot variance from the 15-foot rear yard setback requirement for existing balconies and a spiral staircase. We have 5 letters of support, 0 letters of opposition, and 0 mail return.
Good evening again. This is my last time before you this evening. My name is Mackenzie P. again for the record with a lawyer with the law firm of Behrman Dallas Brockstead, Federica, and Cardea. I'm here on behalf of the applicant, Daniel Nedwick, property owner of 13028 Hayes Avenue in Selbyville, Delaware, tax map parcel number 533-20.19-54. Mr. Nedwick is seeking variances for the existing second and third story balconies and their supports in the amount of 4.7 feet to permit existing structures in their present location at 10.3 feet from the rear yard property line, as well as a spiral staircase, that is part of that structure and connects the second story balcony to the third story balcony. And that is actually specifically located, it would be at 5.2 feet, I believe, to permit the encroachment, 9.8 feet from the rear yard property line. So it extends an additional 6 feet past the balcony request, essentially. The property is zoned AR1, agricultural residential, and all surrounding properties are zoned the same. The applicant submitted exhibits A through F with its application. Exhibit A includes a lot of information. It includes a setback verification that was prepared by the Planning and Zoning Office, confirming that the property is subject to a 30 feet front yard setback, a 5 feet side yard setback, and a 15 feet rear yard setback, qualifying for reduced setbacks as a lot that's less than 10,000 square feet. You'll also find a copy of the staff review of the building permit, where the staff member noted that the unenclosed steps, decks, and porches similar to the existing structure are permitted to encroach 5 feet into the setback and specifically into the rear yard setback. So stated differently, located 10 feet from the rear yard property line. The review further provided that the second floor and higher decks like this structure must comply with the setbacks that apply to the dwelling. And that's where this issue arose. So the contractor didn't comply with that last sentence and constructed the second and third story balconies together with this spiral staircase into the setback. So the first floor complied, second and third did not. Primarily human error, didn't read the building permit correctly. And then finally, there is a copy of the property's deed and property information card included as well. Exhibit B is a copy of the applicant survey that was prepared by Russell T. Hammond. Exhibit C includes relevant sections of the zoning code. Exhibit D, aerial maps. Exhibit E includes images of the balconies and additional pictures, which were submitted into the record that show the second and third story balcony together with the spiral staircase. Exhibit F is a copy of another land use approval for variances from the front yard and rear yard setbacks for an existing structure for the property located at 13030 Hayes Avenue in Selbyville as well. Section 115-209 of the code authorizes this board to hear and decide application for variances. Section 115-211 goes on to say that the variants are only be authorized by the board if it finds that the request meets the criteria described in the applicant's Board of Adjustment application. To address the criteria specifically, the property is unique as a property that is less than 10,000 square feet and considered to be an existing non-conforming lot in an existing non-conforming subdivision of Edgewater Acres. So that community was specifically developed in 1964 before the enactment of the zoning code. There's no homeowners association, but there are deed restrictions of record. I bring those deed restrictions up because it explains a lot of the characteristics in this community. There's a lot of homes and structures that are built within the county setbacks. And specifically because there's a set of deed restrictions that are recorded of record that permit 10 feet rear yard setbacks in addition to unenclosed porches 5 feet from the property line of any given street or highway. And there's also, I'm not sure if it's really enforceable or not, but permission for encroachment over bodies of water 5 feet as well. And that is all recorded in a set of deed restrictions of public record for this community. The lot is also unique. It's subject to a small lot ordinance, denominated ordinance 2557, which reduces the rear yard setback requirements for undersized lots, such as the applicant's. The authorization of the variance is necessary to remedy the construction of the second and third story balconies and the spiral staircase by the contractor in the rear yard setback. As I stated, first floor balconies are allowed to encroach an additional 5 feet into the rear yard setback. The contractor constructed the second and third story balconies and spiral staircase under the mistaken assumption that the second and third story balconies and staircase could also encroach the same distance. It obviously couldn't, and this was discovered at final inspection, and as-built was performed, and the encroachments were identified. The variance is also necessary to enable the reasonable use of the property, as the variances will allow the reasonably sized unenclosed balconies and spiral staircase and its supports to remain in place instead of being removed and rebuilt to comply with the rear yard setback at a substantial cost. Third, the exceptional practical difficulty, as stated, has not been created by the applicant because the contractor, not the applicant, placed the balconies and spiral staircase and did not follow the permit. The applicant relied on professionals to guide him through the planning and zoning and building and licensing process, only to later discover at the final step in the process that these violations existed. The variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. As I stated, there are many homes in this community that have structures within the setbacks as a non-conforming subdivision. The applicant also received 5 letters of support from the property owners that are also within the record for your consideration. And finally, the variances represent the minimum variances necessary to afford relief of the existing balconies and the spiral staircase in their existing location. If I can answer any questions, I will now. And then I can also have my client come up at some point as well.
Questions? Do you know how far that staircase, that spiral stair, is out?
So it was actually measured. I know that one picture is deceiving. It's 6 inches beyond the encroachment. So we're asking for it to be located 9.8 feet from the rear yard property line.
Okay, so you need an additional 6 inches.
That's correct on that. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's just applicable to the staircase, that outer edge of the staircase.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like the last step, basically.
Essentially, but right, up to that amount. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the builder thought he was in compliance. He didn't understand that he couldn't do this.
He had to have it scaled. Right, he needed to scale back the second and third and also bring back the steps as well, but didn't, and instead everything was built in compliance with what would have applied for the first story, but not the second and third story.
Mm-hmm. When was this constructed?
This was constructed recently. The permit, I have the permit, I just want to give you the correct date. So permits were pulled for this July of 2021, but then after construction and final inspection, which occurred roughly 2 months ago, and we submitted an application, that's about the timeline there, that the final inspection was prepared. It's within the last year and a half.
So this was found on the final inspection?
That's correct.
Okay.
And that is also reflected in the record. There was a staff review prepared by the Building and Licensing Department that was in addition to the building permit issued that provided for some of that history.
Is there any well and septic on the lot?
I don't believe so, but I'm going to have to have my client come up to answer that question.
Good evening, I want to swear you in. Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Daniel Nedwick. The home is 13028 Hayes Avenue, but I'm not currently living there. I'm at 19 Oyster Bay Drive, temporarily.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, so to answer the specific question, is there well and septic on the property, or are you connected to public water and sewer?
Connected to water and sewer.
Okay, thank you.
Who did this work?
Who performed the construction?
This is Beam Construction in Fenwick.
Okay.
And they signed for the permit?
The permit was actually signed by Mr. Nedwick. You pulled the permits initially, and then there was a subsequent submission and pulled permits by the Beams as well. And that's actually included in the supplemental information that was provided.
I'm looking at the primary with...
There was another form that had been... Yeah, so the owner does have a signature, but then there is a Beam Construction reference as well, but the name listed is Mr. Nedwick's.
Okay, but they...
But ultimately...
But the permit in the first packet was signed for...
By Beam. Sorry, there's a lot of information related to the permit history.
Is this in a flood zone?
Yes.
Homeowners Association?
No Homeowners Association, but deed restrictions of record.
Okay.
Thank you for the pictures. It appears that line of sight to neighbors. We don't see a...
Obstruction of view. No. All unenclosed, open. And you'll notice that there's an adjacent property owner that also has a similar structure.
I did notice that.
Sir, did you, when the home was placed on the lot, when it was staked out, did you ever have a contract or a conversation with the builder about the fact that the balcony was going to be in the rear yard setback? Or did you realize it was going to be in the rear yard setback?
I mean, we had no conversation. That just put it up. I don't know. I hear yes from builders.
You just trusted his judgment?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have a conversation to the effect of, like, telling him you wanted it as far back as it could go? I'm just wondering why it ended up as far back on the lot as it did.
That was just where it was, I guess that's how we understood the house to be set back at.
I can also speak to the fact that the first floor could encroach into the setback, and so I think that's ultimately what happened. They continued with the second and third floor and staircase. Which
right.
is the specific issue. The first floor area was permitted and allowed to encroach.
Is there anything else in the front yard that we should know about, like a buried tank or a tree or anything else like that that we should know about?
Front yard was cleared.
Okay. All right.
Is there any other variances near this? Council question.
There's one specifically at 13030, I believe, and I think there was another one at 13024 as well.
While we're waiting, Mr. Sharp, do you have any questions?
I do. In the front yard, and if you could just step a little closer to the microphone, Mr. Miller, because we got to catch on that. In the front yard, is that where you park your vehicles? Is that?
Yes.
Okay. And is there off-street parking issues in this neighborhood?
There's almost no off-street parking whatsoever. It's, if you're not parking on your lot, you don't have a parking spot.
So is that a reason why the house is pushed back a little further?
It does make for additional parking, yes.
You know, I think I saw that the house was built, some of the materials, or that you bought it in 96. When was the house constructed? Was that in the last year and a half?
Yes, when she gave you the permit, Dave.
So you, was it a vacant lot before that?
No, it was a older house, and It was mold.
Okay. And is this a house that's elevated to keep it away from the water?
This has been, yes, raised, if you want to occur again.
Now, I know Ms. Pete had indicated there's no HOA, but she indicated that there was deed restrictions. Do those deed restrictions have differing setbacks that would reduce the buildable envelope as compared to what the county setbacks are?
I'm not aware of any deed restrictions that would stop this.
I do have a copy of the deed restrictions I can submit into the record if that would be helpful.
Up to you, counsel, and your client. Is there a reason, I guess first question, how wide is that balcony?
5 feet, I guess five.
Okay, so the bottoms, basically you would have to remove the second and third balconies entirely in order to bring it into compliance, is that right?
I guess the third balcony would not have access without the steps, but the second balcony would, all the supports would have to be major.
Is the design of the house such that that's a main point of access to the exterior of the home?
For the third balcony, yes.
And I'm just going to ask you another question, and I think we'll look at what Ms. Norwood's pulled up. Did you hear the statements made by Ms. Pete?
Yes.
Do you believe those to be true and correct?
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Ms. Norwood?
Mr. Phillips says it.
Yes. So there, we have a history of three other applications on this street. It doesn't mean that they were approved or denied. It just means that there's history of three.
So that case, the Boros case there, we do have that in our file. Mm-hmm. Ms. Pete submitted two cases.
Okay.
Case number 11956, which is the Boros case.
Okay.
And then case number 12159, which is the Cassie case.
Mm-hmm.
I will note for the board's benefit, the Boros case was prior to the implementation of the small lot ordinance, and that application dealt with side yard and front yard variances, and there's issues with flooding. It appears that most of those side yard variances would not be necessary now at the implementation of small lot ordinance. The Cassie case dealt with, there was some errors made by a builder, an architect, and a surveyor, and there was also, I think, some foundational issues with removing the second floor deck. That findings of fact are in the packet. And are those two of the three, Mr. Phillips?
Those are the two, and then the third is case number 12120 from 2018, and that one was for a rear yard setback.
Appears it was withdrawn.
Yes, and it was, yeah, withdrawn.
I think that case had to do with a redesign, and they were able to redesign without the need of variances, if I recall the review correctly. In contrast to the structure that's already constructed on the lot.
So my question is, Lane Builders made a mistake, and I understand mistakes happen, but how come they're not here tonight?
I will tell you that it is challenging sometimes to get the contractors to the site. I did not make the specific request, though, as well.
I mean, just where I come from, you make a mistake, you stand up and say you made a mistake,
mm-hmm.
move on. So, okay.
Just want to clarify, the spiral staircase, the third floor balcony, what is like a rooftop balcony, that's in compliance, but the staircase up to it is not.
That is correct.
Well, the second and third are actually both out of compliance. Second and higher are all out of compliance. So anything past the first floor allowance is actually not in compliance. So it would include second, third, and spiral staircase. And that was clarified in a subsequent subsequent submission.
The third floor balcony, your top balcony, does it extend out over top of the second floor balcony?
Partially.
No, it's over the roof.
Over the roof?
Yes, the roof line.
So I wouldn't think you would need a variance for that. It's the staircase going up to it that you need a variance for.
We had reviewed it with the planning and zoning office as well as the building and licensing, and I believe there was an additional area above that needed to be.
There might have been a landing. Is there a landing at the top of the stair that would stick out over?
Yeah.
There is, and it's, you can actually see it on this picture.
Okay.
And it extends to the point that's flush with the second story. And then you have the further encroachment into the setback of the staircase. So that's why it's all three requests technically.
I'll be honest, looking at that, Mr. Worf, with the picture, if I'm looking at the right one, the first floor is ground level, goes up a long ways. There's a second floor immediately above it. There's a third floor immediately above that. And then there's the fourth floor, basically, is where that landing is.
Right.
So it would appear that the variances would need to be, and it does look like there might be a little bit of tapering, but it's hard to tell from the picture. It might just be the angle of it. But it would appear that we would need the same variances for the second, third floor, and probably that landing, and then the additional part for the
staircase.
It's a little tough to tell.
And we had, and that's the way it was drafted, is second, third, and spiral with support system was the request. However, it's defined. It's obviously fine with the applicant, not to speak for you, but it's just making sure that we obviously capture all of the encroachments in the rear yard there.
Yeah, and it really is for the first floor, too, because it's effectively covered now. It's not open. So it's really all, it's the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah, my point is you have that fourth floor rooftop deck, if you will, that's going to be there whether you get a variance or not, but you won't be able to access it without the variance.
Yeah.
Any further questions, Mr. Sharp?
I do not, thank you.
Mr. Worf? Does that conclude your presentation?
Yes, it does, thank you very much.
Thank you. Is anyone present who would like to speak in favor of this case? Is anyone present who would like to speak in opposition to this case? Operator, is anyone on the line that would like to speak in reference to case 12794 for Mr. Daniel Nedwick?
If there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. We have Ann on the line. Ann, your line is open.
Hello, this is Ann McClure. I'm calling in this evening to test the line.
We hear you loud and clear, Ann. Thank you.
You're welcome.
If there is anyone else on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. At this time, there is currently no one who wishes to speak.
Thank you. Anything else? At this time, I will close the public hearing for case 12794 for Mr. Daniel Nedwick and entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 12794 for Mr. Daniel Nedwick for the requested variance pending a final written decision based upon the record made during the public hearing for the following reasons. The exceptional practical difficulty has not been created by the applicant. Variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, and the variance represents the minimum variance necessary to afford relief.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Dr. Carson?
Aye for the reason stated.
Mr. Worfel?
Aye for the reason stated.
Mr. Hastings?
Aye for my reasons.
And I too. So a vote of 4-0, your case is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you.